Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever noticed that the Protestants number the Ten Commandments a little differently than either the Catholics or the Lutherans? Protestant churches take the statement, "You shall not make for yourselves any graven image," which is actually parenthetical to the First Commandment, and they turn that into the Second Commandment. Then they combine the Ninth and Tenth Commandments. In the end, these variants in the Ten Commandments aren't very significant, but they simply reflect two historical traditions for numbering the commandments. Judaism, however, had its own unique way of numbering the commandments, and it is significant. In the Jewish Talmud, in place of what we know as the First Commandment, the commandment begins with these words: "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." In the Bible, this verse comes just before what we think of as the Ten Commandments. And the implications for this ordering of the commandments is staggering. For by making this the first commandment, it makes it abundantly clear that the Lord already loved the Jewish people and had saved them long before they ever heard or kept any of the commandments. In the Jewish tradition, understanding the commandments this way, the Lord God declares his love for us ahead of ever asking us to love him in return, or to respond to his love by loving our neighbor as ourselves. And so essentially the Jewish tradition begins the commandments with the gospel premise: I am the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and rescued you from the house of slavery. Or as the Apostle John would say it in the New Testament, we love because God first loved us. The Lord loved us long before we were capable of loving him or of obeying his commandments. Now, this is how the new man in Christ hears the commandment that is given to us this day by Jesus. In today's gospel, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Because we Christians, however, are a combination of our old sinful self in Adam and our new self in Christ, we often hear and interpret God's commandments in different ways. Our old man, that is our old Adam or our old Eve, here's the commandment in the old way. For example, the self-righteous hears the command to love one another and thinks, "Ah, I can get Jesus to love me by keeping his commandments." It happens in the same way as that person who tries to get others to like him socially by doing everything within his power to be likable and congenial. So the self-righteous believe that keeping the commandment is the way that they get God to like them. But it would be prideful and presumptuous on our part to think that we sinners who displease the Lord in so many ways could then turn around and earn God's affection. And so our old self hears the commandment in the old way. Those who are still living under the law will forever hear it this way: God will punish me and maybe even stop loving me if I do not keep this commandment. And if that is our motivation, simply to prevent this from happening, we will never be able to adequately calm our anxious hearts. For only Jesus' perfect love for us can cast out such fear. For his love for us is unconditional, in that while we were enemies, Christ died for us. If Christ loved us when we were his enemies, the Bible says, how much more does he love us now that he has made us his friends? There is no way to have pure motivations when keeping the commandments unless you live by faith in Christ. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For otherwise, your obedience doesn't really spring from the love of God, but you are only keeping the commandment in order to obtain something for yourselves. For you cannot love others while you are fending for yourself. If you are obsessed on getting whatever you can out of this life for yourself, you will find very little room left in your heart for loving others. This is why, apart from Jesus loving us, we would never love anyone. The only way that we can start living for others and loving others is to first know that Jesus loves us. For it is only once you are saved and safe, and you discover that God has already met all your needs in Christ so that you need nothing more, that you will be free to stop thinking only about yourself. For before Jesus chose us to bear much fruit and be his disciples, we were slaves to our sinful passions and our evil desires. We cared only about ourselves, and we only obeyed God's commands when it pleased us and when it served our purposes. Just ahead of today's text, Jesus would remind his disciples that he is the vine that nourishes faith and good works in us, while we are the branches that benefit from that constant flow of his love into our lives. The disciples would also learn that apart from Christ, they could do nothing. We need to learn this too, for as paradoxical as it sounds, we too must first learn that we can do nothing for God before we can do anything for God. It's as if Jesus were saying to us, you can do nothing good. Now go and do good works in my name with the power that I will give you. Again, it appears to be a contradiction. Until the gospel allows our new man to understand this new commandment and in a new way. For if we read it again, we will notice that Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I want you to carefully consider that phrase, as I have loved you. Now, don't hear it as law. Jesus isn't saying, look, I did all of this for you. What have you done for me lately? But instead, hear it as gospel. Hear it as Jesus encouraging your love for one another, in the same way that he loved you and gave himself for you. It is only his love for us that gives us these new desires to love one another. This is how you will know that you are loving others with the love of Jesus. When you love others without any thought for what you might receive from them in return, then you are loving as the Lord loves you. The nearest earthly example of unconditional love like this that even comes close to the love that Jesus has for you is a mother's love for her children. Mothers have this amazing capacity to love their children. Moms are capable of love for the good and the bad and the ugly. Moms keep loving their children when everyone else gives up on them. And in the same way, The love of Christ is prompting us to love even the unlovable. When we love one another as Jesus loved us, this means that the Savior has called us to love those in our lives who are not easy to love. They may even show contempt for you when you show them love. But it doesn't matter. For Christ's love for us compels us to show love even towards those who sin against us. Again, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, before faith came, the commandments really only served one purpose. They intimidated us and they frightened us. Or else they made sinners resist and resent God all the more. Yet the new man in Christ hears the commandment of Jesus in an entirely fresh and new way. Those living by the gospel will hear, "God has forgiven me so that I can keep his commandments, so that I can gratefully do what pleases him." When most people in America picture freedom in their minds, they have this picture of personal autonomy with no one to tell them what to do or to rule over them. As sinners, therefore, sinners depict disobedience to God and complete disregard for his commandments as true freedom. In our narcissistic age, people have redefined freedom as doing whatever it is that makes them happy. But those who follow Jesus long enough will learn that there is a far greater joy in obedience to God, which in this case is to love one another. For when we do, there is this great sense of purpose for life. When we live according to what God wills for us, what he intended for us, there is great freedom for those who love God, who obey God, who serve God. In the end, living only for ourselves, though it sounds good on the surface, is just another form of sin and its slavery that has the appearance of freedom. But there is a much greater happiness in doing something for the one who has done everything already for us, Christ. For because of him, we will experience eternal joy. Again, the old man in us sees the commandments as a burden of oppression imposed upon him. But the new man in Christ, he knows that the commandment of Jesus is really a blessing. For loving one another in Christ, first and foremost, gives strong evidence of our faith. And loving one another in Christ is our way of saying thank you to Jesus for dying for a debt that you and I could never repay. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.